Okay, hello and welcome. We're going to unpack some interesting source material today.
That's right. We've been looking at the GitHub page and the official website for Woodpecker CI/CD.
Exactly. And our mission here is really to dig into this, go beyond just the surface level specs.
Yeah, pull out the key insights, understand what Woodpecker actually is, how it works,
and why it might matter to you, especially maybe if you're newer to these CI/CD ideas. We want to make it accessible.
Definitely.
And before we dive in, this deep dive is brought to you with support from SafeServer. Mm-hmm. They're a fantastic resource if you're looking at hosting software like the kind we're discussing, and they can really help with that whole digital transformation piece.
Good to know.
You can find out more over at www.safeserver.de. Again, that's www.safeserver.de.
Great.
So yeah, whether you're just curious about automating your code, maybe looking for a tool, or just want to understand what makes a CI/CD engine tick, let's jump right in.
All right. So looking at the sources, the first thing that kind of jumps out is Woodpecker's own description. They call it a simple yet powerful CI/CD engine with great extensibility.
Simple and powerful. That's often the tricky balance, isn't it?
It really is. And maybe we should quickly define CI/CD for anyone listening who's new to it.
A good idea. So CI/CD stands for Continuous Integration and Continuous Deployment. Mm-hmm. Basically, it's about automating all those steps.
Right.
You know, taking code from a developer, testing it automatically, making sure it works.
And then getting it out there reliably, whether that's onto a server or into users' hands, automating that pipeline.
Exactly. So Woodpecker is the engine that runs those automated workflows.
And digging into the sources, a really core part of how it tries to be both simple and powerful is its use of Docker containers.
Docker. Okay, that makes sense in modern development. So how does it use them?
Well, basically every single step in your pipeline, like compiling your code, running your tests, building the thing you want to deploy, It all runs inside its own separate Docker container.
Okay, so isolation.
Exactly. The big insight there is consistency. Your build environment is neatly packaged, so it should, you know, run the same way every single time.
Right, regardless of the machine it's actually running on underneath.
Yeah.
And portability too, I guess.
Absolutely. If it runs in Docker, you can pretty much run it wherever Docker runs.
And that container approach, that must link to the great extensibility part they mentioned.
It does, yeah. The sources really highlight this. If a standard Docker image doesn't quite cut it for a specific task you need.
Like something really specific.
Yeah, you can build custom plugins. These are essentially just purpose-built Docker containers designed to do that one specific job within your pipeline.
So the plugin system is the key way you extend it.
Yeah.
And you said the sources point to a website for those.
Yep. There's a dedicated plugin overview site. It lists plugins from the core team and from the community, which suggests, you know, there's an active ecosystem around it.
That's good to see. An active community makes a big difference with open source tools.
Definitely. And that flexibility also shows up in how it handles workflows. The sources mention you can have multiple workflows for just one project.
Okay.
And importantly, these workflows can even depend on each other. You can chain them.
Oh, right. So you could have, like, test run first. And only if they pass, then the build workflow kicks off.
Exactly, that kind of thing. Allows for pretty complex setups, even with that focus on simplicity.
Speaking of simple, let's talk footprint.
Yeah.
Because the numbers in the sources, they seemed, well, pretty low.
They really do. It's described as remarkably lightweight. We saw figures like around 100 megabytes of RAM for the main server part.
100 megs, that's tiny.
And just 30 megabytes for the agent component when it's sitting idle.
Wow, okay, the insight there is clearly accessibility, right?
Totally. It lowers the barrier massively for self-hosting. You don't need some huge, beefy server.
It could run on pretty modest hardware, good for smaller teams, individuals.
Hobby projects, you name it. And that ties in with the default database, too.
Which is SquidLight, according to the sources.
Right. Which, again, reinforces that ease of setup. It's usually just a single file, minimal fuss.
Yeah, it all points towards being easy to get started with, and the docs are available.
Oh, yeah. The sources point to woodpecker-ci.org docsintro for documentation.
Good.
And another nice touch, they mention translation efforts. There's a self-hosted weblate instance for translating the interface and docs.
Making it accessible globally, that's always good to see.
Mm-hmm.
Now, abstract concepts are one thing, but seeing it used, that always helps. Did the sources mention any real-world use cases?
They did give one specific example, Codeberg.
Codeberg, right, the Git hosting platform.
Yeah, described in the sources as an alternative Git host, focused on privacy and free software, And Woodpecker is their main CI/CD engine.
Okay, that's actually a really interesting point. The insight there is maybe the tool's philosophy aligns with Codeberg's.
Seems likely. You know, yeah. Open source, lightweight, self-hostable, focused on simple, controllable automation. It fits that free software, privacy-conscious ethos quite well.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's a good endorsement.
Yeah.
What about the project itself? Licensing, community size, that sort of thing.
Okay, so the source code itself is under the Apache 2.0 license.
Pretty standard permissive open source license then.
Exactly. It means you can use it, modify it, even in commercial stuff, quite freely. Just need to keep the license info.
And the documentation had a different one.
Correct. The docs are under Creative Commons Attribution Sharealike 4.0.
The standard for content sharing. Share, adapt, but give credit and share back alike.
Precisely. Encourages community improvement of the docs.
Makes sense. And those GitHub stats you found, they look pretty healthy.
Yeah, the numbers were 5.1 thousand stars, 421 forks, and 485 contributors.
485 contributors. That definitely points to an active community.
It does. And if you listening find it useful and want to support it, the sources mention Open Collective and GitHub sponsors as ways to become a backer.
Good to know there are ways to contribute back. And just as a tech detail, do they list the main languages used?
They did, yeah. It's mainly Go for the backend, it seems. Then Vue, TypeScript, CSS, Makefile, and JavaScript listed.
So a fairly modern stack. Go for performance, Vue, and TypeScript for the front end. Interesting mix.
Yeah, it gives you a peek under the hood.
Okay, so let's step back a bit. We've dug through the sources on Woodpecker. Why does understanding a tool like this matter for you, the listener?
Well, I think it provides a really concrete, understandable example of how automation actually works in software.
Right. It takes these sometimes abstract ideas like CI/CD, containers.
And shows them in action in a tool that's designed to be simple and resource efficient. It demonstrates you don't always need huge, complex beasts to do powerful automation.
Yeah, it demystifies it a bit. You see the principles open source, containerization for that consistency we talked about, extensibility through plugin.
It makes it feel more tangible, less like, you know, abstract magic.
Okay, so let's quickly recap the main takeaways from our deep dive into the Woodpecker sources.
That's good.
We've seen it's pitched as simple yet powerful. It's open source CI/CD.
Built fundamentally on Docker containers, which gives it consistency and portability.
Could get that really lightweight footprint using Squalit by default, making it super accessible for self-hosting.
Right, and it's extensible through a plugin system with an active community contributing.
Plus, it's used in the real world by projects like Codeberg, which kind of reflects its core values.
We basically tried to connect the dots from the sources to give you the overall picture.
Exactly. And a final thank you again to SafeServer for supporting this deep dive. Remember, they can help with hosting software and supporting your digital transformation. Find out more at www.safeserver.de.
Definitely check them out. And maybe a final thought to leave you with.
Go on.
Consider how often really powerful systems like effective automation aren't just one giant complex thing.
Right.
But they're built by combining simpler, focused, well-designed pieces like Woodpecker aims to be. How could thinking that way maybe change how you approach building things yourself?
Or even just understanding the tech behind the services you use every day. Something built from simple blocks can create something complex and powerful.
Exactly. Yeah. Something to think about.